listening to Magic From Wherever I'm At with your host, the magician, time traveler, and charmer, D'Artagnan.
Welcome to the final part three grand finale episode of the podcast, episode 150, Mastery Part 3. First, we're going to continue with the two other stanzas of Eric Evans and my back and forth regarding Robert Houdin's quote about a magician being an actor playing the part of a magician. And then we're going to go into some more. I feel like this is a perfect segue, these back and forths I have with Eric, a perfect segue into what I have to say about Robert Houdin. And so without any further ado, let's get into that. And then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about Robert Houdin. Eric went on to write a second volley, to which I'll read from now. I'll start this by stating that D'Artagnan and I don't appear to disagree all that much. That may strike you as surprising, but I think it boils down to a matter of perspective and semantics. That's why I tried, however unsuccessfully, to define somewhat precisely what I think an actor is in order to begin this discussion. For example, in D'Artagnan's second paragraph, he observes how different I was when on stage as opposed to off stage, and seemingly implies that this is due to my acting a part or a role. Then in the very next paragraph, he provides an answer to my actions that directly addresses what he observed me doing has nothing to do with acting and everything to do with presentation. You'd clearly done heavy sanding on the edges of your personality. That's precisely what I've done and has very little to do with acting. But what's more, to conclude that what he saw me doing in Ocean City was proof that I had taken Houdin's advice is bewildering to me. That's a major assumption that has no basis in fact. That's what I was talking about earlier. He took it very literally that he read that book where that information exists and then applied it to his own stuff. That's not what I was suggesting. I wasn't suggesting it literally. I was suggesting he was doing it and that Robert Houdin's advice was to do that and that he was doing that in the exact same way. Side note, D'Artagnan brings Jimmy Toxelot into this dialogue, so I feel compelled to state that I cannot nor will not attempt to speak for Jimmy. He's an alien life form that I have little to no comprehension of whatsoever. Which I really enjoyed when he put that in there. Eric goes on to say, he then goes on to describe his, D'Artagnan's, journey, learning the fine art of magic and practice, making the statement, one thing I interpret from Robert Houdin's advice, given the context of which it is placed, is that by comparison to the juggler, who is doing the exact thing he's claiming to do, the magician is only pretending to do so. That was the context of the original quote about a magician being an actor playing the part of a magician was Robert Houdin was comparing him to a juggler. I think I addressed his point in my first essay regarding this aspect of magic here. I see little to be learned from noting that we need to occasionally act as though we are doing something when in fact we are doing something else. If you want to practice the very art of deception itself, you're going to have to occasionally have to deceive. If you want to call deception acting, then fine, we can agree on that, but my point is that what we are doing is much more than act. Another way of saying it is that magic is upstream of acting. Certainly acting is a part of what we do, but my overall point is that it is but a small part of our craft, and I see very little benefit making the point that when we pretend to place a coin in our hand, that is acting. That is why Slidini made his comment about believing. To explore this point in a different way, I think it's pointless to say if you want to perform a double lift, you're going to have to learn a convincing double lift and then perform it in a convincing manner. Yes, if we want to perform sleight of hand magic, we're going to have to learn how to do sleight of hand. Then we must learn how to perform the sleight of hand in a natural manner with some greater context of the effect as we envision it so as to keep everyone's intention, sure. And D'Artagnan then quotes David Devant, and I think may misinterpret Devant's words, using that as a jumping off point to compare magic to this. It is another variant of storytelling. His emphasis. I'm sorry, but to compare magic to storytelling presents a real problem for me. Not because I think he's right, but because this is an area where I think abundance of caution is necessary. First off, I despise almost all of the storytelling magic that I've seen, which probably doesn't say that much because I avoid it like the plague. Storytellers remind me of mentalists who wander about the stage, mind-numbingly in search of a thought, and meanwhile offering nothing of import meanwhile accomplishing little other than losing the attention of the audience. That is to say that they're the opposite sides of the quote-unquote Magicus Tedium spectrum. Secondly, what is a story other than a repetitive recitation of something you've obviously said and done before? That is the definition of a story, right? Something that can be repeated over and over again ad nauseum, wash, rinse, and repeat. The possibility that there would be a tendency to treat every audience the same is alarming to my sensibilities. And I will admit at this point that I was shocked when I first read that he had included that. But I addressed that in my next response, so I'll save it for then. Nope, not for me. I like the free form that the simplest tricks provide, allowing me to freely react to my audience's expressions and attitudes. No restrictive storylines for me, just the purity of them watching me perform the simplest magic. Complex or elaborate setups or storylines interwoven throughout the presentation, I think, detract from the simple beauty of magic. The phrase, quote-unquote, gilding the lily, expresses or sums up much of my feelings and thoughts about storytelling magic. But getting back to my objection of Houdin's oft-cited quote, if we're to be magicians, regardless of venue, we must be much more than actors. As Jimmy Toxlaw pointed out a decade or more ago, we must also be creators, writers, directors, stage managers, technicians, ushers, ticket sellers, travel agents, and to say the least, performers. With the appropriate perspective, quote-unquote, acting is trivial in comparison. So that was Eric's second response to my initial response. And to close out this whole thing, I responded once more. And this is the final exchange that we had on my side. It does seem in some respects that Eric and I have semantic.
I hope you've enjoyed this teaser of Magic from Wherever I'm At. To listen to this entire episode and the entire series of more than 150 other episodes, go over to magicfromwherever.com/podcast. That's magicfromwherever.com/podcast.
Tired of being a trickster, are you not?